I don't understand what's going on here.
This is G3.
All you need is the knowledge.
It's G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos on BFBS Radio 2. My name is Dave Raven. Welcome to the programme. Coming up this month, I meet the man who has got the future of radio in his hands. There's a website called wheredidyoubuythat.com. I meet the brainchild behind it and the sort of things that they sell. Viral marketing is all the buzz and the World Cup is on its way. I speak to the man behind the alternative World Cup theme and its viral marketing plan. And also, if you've got a video camera but like doing strenuous activities, I may have the answer. I speak to Mark Jenner from Cameras for Sports with a little camera which fits on a helmet and lets you do almost anything. That's all to come on the programme, but first a look back to last month where I reviewed the AeroPress coffee maker, and I was raving about the quality of coffee that it made. We've just come back from 4 days away in Spain, and one of the things that we always do when we're travelling is take a small kettle with us, because my wife likes to start the day with the hot water and lemon juice, and I often like to have a coffee before we go down for breakfast. And taking the little AeroPress with us revolutionised our coffee making, because it was such a... It's very light and very easy to travel with. And then we just had our coffees in the morning as per usual. And by the time we went down for breakfast, the hotel was very nice and the breakfasts were nice. But the coffee really wasn't that good, to be honest. And it meant we could have really good coffees. So if you, like me, enjoy good coffee and when you're travelling have to often compromise or sacrifice, it really is worth looking at the AeroPress coffee maker, which is still in almost daily use in our household here and makes really fine coffee. Let's put the coffee and last month's programme to one side and look at this month. And it happens to be our seventh birthday. 7 years of games and gadgets and gizmos. And in that time, lots of websites have appeared selling games, gadgets and gizmos. And some have gone to the wall along the way as well. But we start this month's programme with a site that's very different from all the rest. And it's called wheredidyoubuythat.com, which is a perfect name. And I'm talking to the person whose inspiration it was, Di Overton. Di, welcome to G3. When did the idea come about for wheredidyoubuythat.com?
I think mainly from, like you say, there's so many gadget sites out there and you go onto them and they're selling all the same things. And we wanted to come up with something totally different. We had access to these products via the company that At One, which is the main company, doing business-to-business loyalty programs. And we decided that we would be our own client and start this. And it snowballed from there.
When did you start? Where did you buy that?
Just before the dot-com bubble burst in 2000, January 2000.
What perfect timing.
Oh, yes.
But obviously you survived that bubble. Is that because you had the other company behind you, so to speak?
Yes, mainly that. And that I had faith in the product, that I knew that it would work, because we'd done a lot of research beforehand.
But you were able to sort of get through that bad period. When people talk about the bubble bursting, it's not like the internet imploded, is it? I mean, what happened is that just some companies went to the wall, but people were starting to trade on the internet then.
Yeah, there were, but first of all, it wasn't fast enough. When we first launched Where Did You Buy That, it was a doll's house. It was my daughter's doll's house. And we photographed all the products in rooms in perspective and placed them into this photograph of a doll's house. And you used to click into a room and then click on the product in the room and buy it from there. And it was brilliant if you had a high-end computer that was fast.
So where did you buy that.com is not gadgets, really, although there were a couple of things. Mm-hmm. It's really household things,
yes,
but very unusual ones. How do you find them?
A lot of it I find on the internet. I'm a world champion Google user. I can put any search in and find anything. And I do go to exhibitions. I go to New York, Milan, Paris. The Danish are very good with design. The Dutch. And British. I mean, there is British design.
What's the criteria? Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. So does it have to just... I mean, are you the final arbiter? Are you the one, if it floats your boat, it goes in? Or do you have a team of people around you?
No, it's just me. So, the dictator.
So really, where did you buy that.com is dioverton.com.
Yeah.
The things I would like in my home.
Well, no, it's not necessarily what I would, because I haven't got it all.
That was another of my questions. Do you have everything on your site?
Definitely not. I mean, in the kitchen, I have. I've got a lot of things, but our bestseller, the bestseller, we sell hundreds and hundreds of them, is the Armadillo Bread Bin.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
It's fantastic, but I haven't got one.
All right.
I think that's greed, though, because we keep selling them, so...
Oh, you see, you can't keep on in long enough.
No.
The Armadillo Bread Bin actually just, well, it's exactly as it describes. It looks like an armadillo made out of, is it stainless steel or aluminium?
It's aluminium.
Right, okay. And it really is gorgeous. And are you the only one with that?
I appear to be, because if you put a search in Google for Armadillo Bread Bin, you only come up with us.
Right, I see.
And I don't know why. I don't make a big secret of where I get it from. I have no idea why other people don't do it.
And
but
as I said,
I should be careful, shouldn't I? Because somebody would be
maybe listening. Like, ooh, I'll buy it. I'll get one more thing. I'll be like, where is it made? Is it UK made or
overseas? Italian.
Italian. Got fine
very
designs.
Clever.
Yes, that's right.
I love Italian design. Doesn't always work. I mean, the Philip Stark juicer that Alessi do.
Yes.
When Alessi's an Italian company, is a design icon. You know, the juicy salif or something they call it. And I used to do it on where did you buy it? It doesn't work. It looks like a spaceship, and when you squeeze the fruit on it, all the juice runs down the legs.
So that hasn't passed the user test, and that's been taken off the site.
I don't do that brand because there's so many other sites, design-led sites, that do that. Well, the whole point of where did you buy that is that when somebody sees it, they say, where did you buy that?
Mm.
They haven't seen it before. It's got to pass that.
And obviously there aren't any other sites like yours around.
No, not really. There's sites that are similar, but I can't say there's anything exactly like Where Did You Buy That. I mean, we do sell it. We sell the Nigella Lawson range of cookware, which isn't, to me, a Where Did You Buy That product.
No, because they're pretty, they're around almost everywhere, aren't they?
But it's a great seller, and I think mainly because it's so heavy, people don't want to carry it from the shops. And they'd rather it was delivered to their door. It's the only thing I can think. But the thing that gets Where Did You Buy That, all the publicity, and keeps it, you know, ahead of the game, is the things like the Harry Allen reality range, you know, with the spooky hands coming out of the wall.
You've lost me there altogether.
If you go into the bedroom or the bathroom, you can see them.
Right.
Lifelike hands.
Oh, I see.
Come here. Offer and grab, and they hold things like mobile phones, car keys. You can hang your coat on the come here, well, on any of them.
Oh, I see.
And they're just that bit different. They're really spooky.
I've never seen those. I have to search the site. You're obviously adding new stuff all the time. So
yes.
Do you have to then drop stuff off the other end, or is it just the site getting bigger?
Well, we
and bigger?
Have an attic because it's all based on rooms.
Yeah.
You know? So you go, and the attic is the sale room.
Oh,
and
clever, yes.
Up to 70% discount on things, because we carry about 400 products, and there's such a lot out there, to, you know, you can't just keep on adding. So what we do is we take off the stuff that isn't selling quite as well and we put it in the attic, or discontinued items, because the designers are always discontinuing things.
That's right, yeah. As soon as they get something, they bring something else out and change it.
Yeah,
And now I've just realised, therefore, that based on the very original WhereDidYouBuyThat.com, which was a doll's house with rooms, this is still the same. It's still rooms, kitchen, lounge, dining, bedroom, bathroom, jet-setting, kind of a room in a way, and then the attic at the end.
Yes, and each room has got a section in. So you've got Wacky in the kitchen, which obviously is where the Armadillo Bread Bin goes.
Right, I see.
To break it down for people, because there is so many products.
Lovely. Now, it would seem also that you've got a lot of the stuff actually in stock. You aren't just a website. You're actually a warehouse as well.
And it's that important, because when people order from the web, they don't want to wait forever for it.
That is so true. And
we try to send things out. If an order comes in before midday, it'll go out the same day, and they'll have it the next morning. If it's in stock. If it's not in stock, we tell them.
Right. I mean, that's the way it should be. Yeah. So many websites now, sadly, don't even have the product, and when you order it, they order it, and you wait for weeks. That's right.
And I don't like that. That's not what internet shopping's about.
I think it's a really clever idea. Tell us the website again so people can have a browse around.
WhereDidYouBuyThat.com.
Lovely. Di Overton, the genius behind it, thank you so much for your time on G3 today.
Thank you.
I'm now about to demonstrate a most interesting device.
This is G3.
BFBS.
Judging by the amount of people I see when I'm travelling around with digital video cameras, it would seem that almost everybody's got one now, and they're really useful. They're getting smaller and smaller, and the quality is getting better and better, but there are still some things which are very difficult to use with. Skiing, for instance. You can't ski very well when you've got your camera in your hand, and even more active sports make it more and more difficult. Generally speaking, the kind of kit you get to plug in into the cameras like that is tremendously expensive. But I found a website and a manufacturer of somebody who was making, well, little helmet-mounted cameras ideal for people like you and I. It's camerasforsports.co.uk. And I'm speaking to Mark Jenner, who is the managing director, is that right, Mark, of the company?
That is, yes.
Now, the company isn't just cameras. You are basically, am I right, a television and video making company?
Yes, we produce TV ads, radio ads and corporate videos, high-end ones.
And how did the Cameras for Sports come about?
We were, having been in the industry, we were out always taking cameras with us when we were skiing. One of the guys tripped over in the powder snow and lost an £800 camera. And we thought, well, this isn't very good. So we looked at ways of actually filming while we were skiing, but hands-free. And we started off buying from another company, because there weren't many out there 5 or 6 years ago. And we found there were problems with them, that they overheated in the cold and all this sort of stuff. And so you get condensation on the inside of the lens. Power lines were pulling out. So we designed our camera to make sure that the mic was already built in, so you haven't got one huge nest of cables in your bag, and the terminations on the end of the camera all fitted directly into the camera lead of your video camera, and that was it, one nice, simple package. And the only scary thing about our cameras is what you're filming. They're very easy to use.
Therefore, that's one of the reasons why, as soon as I saw your website, I just thought, the way that our guys, with the sort of sports activities that they do, this is the perfect thing.
Yes.
So this is, once again, a prime example of how experts in their field couldn't find what they wanted, so made their own.
Yes, basically. That's right.
And now you've got a whole range of different types of packages.
Yes.
Both for base ones, mountain ones, extreme sport ones. What are the differences in between them there? Is it the same camera in there?
The X-Sport camera is the sort of top-of-the-line one. That's a X-View HAD Sony chip. They're all Sony chip cameras. We only use Sony. That's what we use in the professional industry for the video work that we do in the TV ads. And so we've carried that through into the video cameras. We looked at Panasonic and Sharp, and we found that we just thought the Sony chips were a lot better. The export kit is the top line. Camera goes down to 0.01 lux. So it's ideal for extreme sports where the guys are jumping on their motorbikes and stuff like that, under floodlights. In the dark.
So the quality is as good?
Yeah, it's very, very good. Yeah, we're very pleased with the quality of the cameras.
And then depending on how you've mounted or are holding the I was going to say the lens, but it's really the camera.
It's like a lipstick. Yeah, it's about the size of a lipstick.
It depends on how you hold that and mount it. That will then govern on the image quality, so to speak, in terms of the how stable it is and what have you.
Well, you see, your neck is a fantastic tripod. Your neck, if you... when you're walking along, your neck doesn't bounce up and down, your line of sight is quite good. And it's the same with the video camera. When it's mounted onto your helmet with the clips we supply in the packs, it allows you to, you can actually do lovely pan and scans across mountains or, whatever's going on, whatever you're filming. Turn your head nice and gently. As I say to people, if you hold a cup of coffee out in front of you, try and keep that steady for half an hour. But put mount a camera onto your helmet, you can stand there quite happily for half an hour. No aches, no pains, and the shot will stay steady.
And then the lead just runs down to your video camera, which you just switch on to record and put into your pocket and zip it away.
That's it, yeah. And we have actually a remote control now, which is a LANC remote. And on some video cameras, you have a LANC socket. Plug that in, and it has a little LED button on it. You press the button once, it turns red, you're recording. Press it again, it goes green, you're in standby. Hold it in for 3 seconds, it turns your video camera off in its bag, so you save batteries.
So
you can pretty much edit while you're skiing. You just turn it on when you want to record. Very simple.
Now, the various ranges, you mentioned they come in different types, but if we take the Extreme, or the X-Sport Extreme, which
yes.
is probably the one that, if for the guys who are listening, because for the kind of sports that they do, the one they're going to be interested in, what does that retail at?
It's £160 plus VAT. Right. That's with a mic. If you don't want a mic, then it's £150. And it's the same with all of our cameras. We charge the price includes the microphone. If you don't want the mic, you knock £10 off, which is all on the website.
And then when we come to wet sports, you know, canoeing and things, you've got to get your camera into some kind of waterproof bag.
Helicases.
Right.
What we recommend. We don't sell them because there's so many different sizes of video cameras.
Yeah.
Although they are getting quite small nowadays. We recommend a Pelicase, that's P-E-L-I. They're very good, dustproof, waterproof. The waterproof cameras we sell don't have a microphone on.
No.
All our cameras are waterproof, weatherproof, but the microphone has a cardboard diaphragm, so that's the only bit that's not waterproof.
And generally speaking, because I do corporate video too, and I tend to have tripod mounting most of the time, whenever I can, but is it fair to say that even just for not extreme sports, you'll actually get a steadier image with a head-mounted camera?
Yes, much steadier.
Just might look a bit of a fool walking around the Trevi Fountain sort of thing.
In fact, to be honest, you get an awful lot of interest. When we've had the cameras on, especially skiing, you stop in the ski queues and you can hear everyone say, oh, wow, look, that guy's wearing a camera. You end up looking pretty cool. Again, is that a camera? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wow, where did you get one from?
Right.
And that's how we started the business, really. You know, I was asked so many times in ski lift queues, is that a camera? When we said, yes, it was. The next question was always, where can I get one? So we had a little light lit up. We said, right, let's start a business here. And that's how it all started.
Mark, tell us where we can get one from.
It's cameras for, that's a numerical for, sports, sports.co.uk.
And they start at about £130 or thereabouts.
Yes, they do. In fact, we've got the base kit now is £123.50, I think, plus VAT.
Excellent.
And that's without the case, but you can always add a case on.
I think if you do anything at all exciting with your video camera, it is a must-have. And Mark Jenner, Managing Director, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
BFBS.
Next on G3, it's where you listen to your radio and how you listen to your radio, which I think is going to be the really big change in the next 4 or 5 years, as more and more of us become broadband enabled, and as more and more of us use Listen Again and streaming radio on the net. We know from our figures for the G3 programme and for all the other Listen Again programmes that every month more and more of you are choosing to listen in your own time. But streaming radio, you can listen to almost anything in the world, but it's a bit of a, well, nerdy thing, really. You've got to sit next to your PC. Not anymore. I'm speaking to James Luce, who's the product manager of a company famous for their loudspeakers for many, many years. That's Acoustic Energy, who have now branched into a Wi-Fi radio. And you have to have broadband into your house to be able to listen to all these stations. But you don't. Do you have to have your computer switched on still, or how does it work?
No, don't you? The thing you do have to have is a wireless router. It all works wirelessly, so you can move the radio around to different rooms without having to drag a big cable behind you everywhere. And it will just connect through the router direct to the broadband line, and so you don't have to have the PC turned on. But another function of the radio is also that if you've got files on your PC you'd like to play through the radio, you can do that wirelessly as well.
Oh, so it can also play all the stuff off your music folders and things.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Now, okay, so it's standalone. It's got very few buttons on it and a small LED readout and what looks like a volume control. So how do you access these 4,000 radio stations?
Well, that's it. Through that volume control, which you're quite right is the volume control, it also you go into a menu with the select button and you'll pick either stations or media player from the PC. Once you've selected stations, you can then choose by region. And you'll get, the list is basically, you've got Africa, Asia, Americas, Caribbean, Middle East, Oceania, and Europe. And once you select that, you get a list of the individual countries and the number of stations in each country. And if you select the country, then you get the an alphabetical list of all the stations, which for the moment, USA alone has got 709 stations. So it can take a while to cycle through some of the larger countries.
I suppose in time you learn to find the ones you like and the ones you don't,
Absolutely.
Suppose.
There's 10 presets on the radio, so you can store the most important ones. We're working on, for future products, larger memories and things like that, so you can actually get more usability out of it. But for now, 10 stations is enough for the really important ones you like the best.
So give us an indication. We've got somebody listening now in Cyprus who's got broadband. If they got one of these, I mean, they can do it through their computer at present, but now you can do this with this anywhere in the house. If they got one of these, how many UK radio stations could they listen to? Supposing their hometown was where you are in Cirencester.
Yeah, well, wherever you are in the world, you will get 381 UK stations at the moment.
Right.
So it's playing that, which is all covers all the regional BBCs. So it's not just, you'll get Radio 1, 2, 3, 4. You can get, Radio Hertfordshire and all these different places. And also, if the on-demand feature is available, you can play the on-demand broadcast as well.
So we have a listen again service. Well, BFBS has, while it's on through the day, it's streamed, so presumably that will be available.
Yes.
How do you go about an on-demand one? Because an on-demand, normally you have to go somewhere and click a button, don't you, really?
Yeah, the difference is, once you select a station with that feature on it, you'll get a choice then that come up of either live or on-demand. And once you select on-demand, you pick the program from an alphabetical list, as you do with the stations. And when you selected the program you want, you can then select a time to start the program. So if, for instance, you know you're going to listen to The Archers on Radio 2, you'll know that the first 5 minutes of that scheduled program will probably be the news. So you can go 5 minutes into it and start right at the beginning, or fast forward and rewind as you like.
I see. So for this program, which is available as a listen again, you could just sort of dial it up and say, I'll listen to G3 this afternoon.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. And it'll store as long as you hold the file. So if you've held them for a week, you'll be able to play it a week later still,
right,
through the radio.
Which is the way it works anyway, because it gets replaced by the new one the next week.
That's right.
Supposing, well, what about all these new stations coming online all the time? It's an evolving technology. So that's, how do you get all the new stations?
It's absolutely right. We update the server. We do our own work on it by ourselves to try and update new stations we hear of. But also, we like, for any owners of the radio, we have just a small page on our website where you can, it's like an email form. You just fill in, if you know a station online which you can't get on the radio and you'd like to have, you email us that form. Within a couple of days, we can add it to the database on the radio.
So,
I mean, initially when we launched this back on, I think the 10th of December, we launched it in the UK, we had 2,500 stations, and in the time that it's been out since then, we've added another 1,500 from
right.
People that have just sent us extra stations.
And I'll drop you an email later on, and so by the time you hear this program, BFBS will be there as well, available both BFBS Radio 1 and 2. To me, I've had reservations, this is personally I'm talking now, about the future of DAB radio, is that, I mean, here in London, where I'm talking to you from now, we're actually having DAB stations that are coming off our DAB because they can't make any money out of it. It's a shrinking network rather than a growing one. This, to me, does seem like, you call it the wireless revolution, it does seem like the future of radio as opposed to DAB broadcasting.
Yes, it does seem to be the way things are going, and as broadband lines get bigger and speed gets faster, it becomes more of a viability as well, because DAB is great in many ways, but for the UK, it's one system. America uses a different system of this, and many places in the world don't have a DAB system, so
yes.
It's quite limited for area. And also, of course, you get problems with the signal getting to your dish. You can be behind a tree somewhere and not get a signal, so it's a lot more fussy than a standard FM, at least until they boost the signal. But the other thing is, it's the actual bit rates, which, again, limited by airwaves. You can only ever get a certain amount of speed of stream.
So what you're saying there, if I've got you correct, is whereas DAB radio has made a big fuss about how it's much better quality than FM, which I know some people argue about, what you're saying, in fact, is that internet radio is often better quality than DAB radio.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's not limited. I mean, I found a few 500K stations, which are university specialist broadcast stations, which is a very high quality stream. And I said at the moment, because broadband's just becoming to get starting to get larger and more useful, the speeds are all gradually improving on many stations.
Now, I know various websites like Play.com and Evesham sell it. John Lewis sell it as well, so you can actually walk into the John Lewis stores and see it in action. Do you sell it via your website too?
We do, yes. We have got a direct sales part on the website as well. There are many retailers around the country, many online retailers that do sell it.
And the one thing we haven't asked is, how much does it cost?
The retail price is £199.99.
That's quite expensive for a radio.
It's not cheap, but again, it's the first product of its kind, and we had to do a lot of development on it. So
yes, of course.
That comes into a lot of cost.
So it's good to assume that the price eventually will start to creep downwards.
Absolutely, yeah.
Give us a website where people can look at this revolutionary radio.
Yes, it's www.acoustic-energy.co.uk.
James Luce, the product manager of Acoustic Energy, thanks so much for your time on G3 today.
Thank you very much.
Heading out tonight to cheer the team in white. That's England, all right.
That's England, all right.
Raise a glass to the boys in a bubble noise. That's England, all right.
That's England.
It's G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos. Last week on Multimedia, I was talking about viral marketing and the effect it's having. And one aspect of viral marketing is word of mouth is far more powerful than paid advertising. Anybody who's been following what's been happening with the World Cup coming up in June will know that Embrace were picked for the World Cup song. However, there's been, well, I was going to say a backlash, that's not strictly true, but there are quite a few other people who think, hang on a minute, we can do better than that. And I've got one on the phone. Joe Fagan, welcome to G3. What gave you the idea, or who gave the idea, to push forward your most famous song from Ovida Zane Pet all those years ago as a new 2006 World Cup anthem?
Well, there's a company called 300 Million, who are basically a design company, and they had an idea just as a spoof thing to send out to their clients of doing a World Cup song. And then one of them said, well, how about if we use, because it's in Germany, of course, how about if we use the old Auf Wiedersehen Pet theme? And then someone suggested, well, do you think we could get Joe Fagan to record it? And they rang me and asked me, would I be interested in recording it? So I said, yes, certainly.
What was your reaction when you first got the feed thing from them?
Well, I was quite... First I thought, hang on, is somebody playing a joke on me at first? And then I thought, no, hang on a minute, World Cup coming up. So I thought, well, they're making a professional job of it. I can't do an awful lot wrong by going along and singing it.
So then, into the studio for you to do the new words for it. That's yeah. England, all right. On the website, well, we'll come to the website in a second, the viral marketing part of it, but there's a video as well of you doing the song. You seem to be having huge fun.
Yes, we were. We were having a great time. That was all live. That was done live. The guy was sat with the camera in the studio with me while I was singing live.
So it's all very well making the song, but now you have to work and get the word out. And this is where the viral marketing thing comes in. You've got a great website called That's England All Right. That's all one long word, thatsenglandallright.com. And there you can get a full thing all the way through of how it was recorded. You can watch the movie, you can buy the song. And it's that now which is people are starting to spread the word around, and that's where the viral marketing comes in. How long's the site been active?
Just over a week.
And the response in the course of that 7 days?
Has been excellent.
What are your thoughts about the way it's now going to develop?
Well, I'd like to think that if you remember the last number one record, well, the last number one was in England, was two Americans who sold everything on the downloads.
So your hope is that the downloads part of it could start you off in the same way?
Yes, basically. And I think it's a great way to go, you know. That way, you've just got the one product, you've made the product yourself, you put it out there in the ether, if you like, and for 99p, people can download the song as and when they want.
And the good thing about That's Living All Right is that everybody knows the words.
This is amazing, isn't it? And you know what's been wonderful is the reaction of people who've actually listened, and they go, oh, I love that song, I love that series. It's still held in great affection by a massive amount of people.
And just by changing living to England, it works really well, doesn't it?
It works brilliantly, I think.
Well, I wish you huge amounts of luck. Give us the website again where people can go and listen and also buy.
It's www.thatsenglandallright.com.
I wish you lots of luck with this, and I do hope that come a month and a bit's time in Germany in June, from the terraces, we hear your song loud and clear from all the England fans.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
Joe Fagan, who sang the original theme for Ovida Zane Pet and also the theme for As Time Goes By on BBC television. Thanks very much. That's it for G3 for this month. Don't forget you can find links to everybody we've spoken to on this month's programme on the G3 website, which you will find, as always, at bfbs.com/G3, letter G, number 3. And not only links to all the people we've spoken to this month, but also all the previous months going back over the last 7 years of games, gadgets and gizmos. If you'd like to drop me a line, it's pretty simple. It's dave.raven@bfbs.com. And don't forget, this is also a podcast, and so if you want to listen to G3 in your own time, whenever you want, again, everything you need to know is on the G3 website. Coming up next month, Max Anderson reviews a staggering new PlayStation game called Guitar Hero, and I'll also be going to the show called Pulse in Earl's Court. That's all in the May edition, but from me, Dave Raven, hope you've enjoyed this month, and I'll speak to you in 4 weeks' time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Football in the sun, we be there having fun. That's England, all right.
That's England, all right.
From Frankfurt to Cologne, we'll make ourselves at home. That's England, all right.
coffee the same. That's England, all right.